What's up, everybody? A Squad's back this week. I'm super psyched. A lot of exciting stuff going on in the gaming world. With me, as always, Giant Shock.
What's going on, man? Another week.
Max Barracuda.
Let's play.
And our new installment to the show, Novus Redemptor.
Hello.
Who will be a featured player now.
Yeah.
Going Saturday Night Live style.
Awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, let's jump right into what we're playing.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
All right, who wants to kick off what they're playing this week?
Well, I might as well since I have a new game. I got Marvel Lego, and it's just fantastic.
Look. I can't wait to play this thing.
Everyone's so cute. It's just crazy. You got Big Hulk Man, and he's just like sweeping up some sand from Sandman. You got, you know, he teams up real quick with Iron Man, Silver Surfer. It's the first thing you see.
Do you know how many unlockable guys there are?
Shit, I mean, like the little screen like fit my whole screen.
Yeah, those games always have a lot.
It's got to be over 100.
Yeah, like easily they get up there.
See, the thing about the Lego games for me is that the gameplay is always so boring, and you're just going from scene to scene. Like you really just want to watch the scene.
I think with Lego, the real fun comes in after you beat the main story, and then you can go back and do all the other stuff with whoever you want.
I mean, at least as far as the Marvel game goes, everybody has something so different that they all do. Like, the Hulk was so different than Iron Man. Iron Man gets to fly around the whole screen and shoot stuff, while, like, the Hulk, he actually, you could turn into and out of Bruce Banner to solve some puzzles and shit like that, like to climb a rope.
Oh, that was in the Hulk game for Genesis, too, and being Bruce Banner was hot and boring.
I mean,
that was the movie game.
But it's
that was the worst.
Cool. Garbage movie, garbage game.
But I'm saying it's cool to see a little transition in the Legos. The Hulk does a power slap, and like he gets to pick up everything and throw it at you. Obviously, he's a Hulk. But when you're fighting everybody, you're like doing the Loki slam from the movie where he picks up a guy by his foot and it's like, nice. whack everywhere.
Can you fight as Bruce Banner?
I never bothered to.
Can you flee faster than the Hulk might?
No. Bruce Banner. Look, I did it once to climb a ladder. And like I was like, oh, you can change it to Bruce Banner, cool. And as Mr. Fantastic, I got an achievement because I accidentally was holding the B because I thought I was assembling a Lego, and I turned into a teapot. And it was just like, oh, you turned into a teapot as Mr. Fantastic. It's awesome. And
well, I'm sure the achievement,
that's a thing.
Yeah,
the achievements are probably super dope in that game.
Like I had no idea. Like there's nothing you can really do as the teapot. I just kind of hopped around for a little bit. I was like, okay, let me undo this.
The thing about achievements in the Lego games is that like they have like 30 some odd, like you know, story related or cool ones, and then they have like all the ones like collect all of these things, like all the golden bricks.
Yeah, this is my first real like endeavor into one of these Lego games. I haven't really messed with them that much. Now I've been like obsessed with collecting all the little Lego pieces every level. Is that
I do the
something
same
you
thing.
Need to do really?
Not necessarily. They require it for unlockables.
I'm not like Mr. Unlockable. Like I just want to play through story mode, have a good time.
Well, those games are a completionist nightmare.
Yeah,
because
there's
so much to get. But if you're just playing for fun, just plow through the damn thing. Unlock as many guys as you can so you can start switching around. Because you could always go back to past missions after you finish it.
Sometimes you need the collectibles to unlock the characters, though.
Yeah, but then you can go back and use whatever characters you want.
Just a quick note to everybody who's thinking about getting into Lego games. You really got to love the source material. Like, if you're not a big Indiana Jones nut and you get into the Indiana Jones Lego, you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't hurt to love it because you're going to miss a lot of the good jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the one I picked up because, I mean, more than anything, I grew up as a Marvel guy. And, you know, seeing all the characters that I read in the comic books when I was a kid, it was so awesome. And plus, it's the whole world. It's not just situated in, like, just Batman or just Indiana Jones or just Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings. It's the whole Marvel universe. We're going bonkers over here.
My phone's blowing up, the Twitter, the Facebooks.
Yeah, but, you know...
Candy Crush.
Was it, Magneto looks fucking super cool, and, like, everyone just looks, like, so different than everyone else. Like, especially with their fighting styles. Like, I was fighting Mr. Fantastic, and when he fights, like, he just grows, like, super big and, like, stomps on stuff. He keeps turning, like, every time you unlock, like, a key, like, I turn into a big, like, bolt cutter to free Cap.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Captain America's awesome, by the way, too. Like... He's
as a general rule, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy. He needs to stop following me.
Yeah, but I mean, I definitely, if you love Marvel, go pick it up. It's a lot of fun.
yeah, looks awesome. Yeah.
Cool. All right, Novus, what are you playing, dude?
Okay. Technically, I've been playing like three things. I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. One, Gunsmoke for the NES. Way old shit. It's for a series that I'm doing. I want to say side-scrolling, but it's not because it's from top to bottom. But it's basically Old West, shoot 'em up.
Platforming.
Yeah. Basically little shoot 'em up. You just kind of shoot it off in directions.
It sounds familiar.
It was an arcade game, too, which I'm going to be playing in the future, but you may have seen it somewhere. But that I've been trying to work through. I finally restarted Brutal Legend.
Love that game.
Okay. Is that the Jack Black game?
Yes.
So underrated.
Yes. The fact that the first fight is done to Children of the Grave by Black Sabbath...
Well, any game with Jack Black, you know, you're going to have a pretty good sound.
Did you ever get to the end of it?
Dude, like, here's what happened. I bought the game. I played through, you know, when you first meet, what's his name, Lars?
Yeah.
And they give you, like, the whole, you know, you're the one, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Get to that point, you get to the open world part. That's where I stopped, like, 2 years ago.
Oh,
that's
man.
Where I stopped 3 nights ago.
So no, finish it.
I'm going to. It's a matter of it being in the wrong room.
That's one of my favorite all-time games that nobody's ever finished.
Apparently, a lot of Tim Schafer games are particularly amazing. Like, really underrated and particularly amazing.
Yeah, pretty much it's a Zelda game, like a modern Zelda game in a heavy metal universe.
Yeah, which obviously is right up my alley. So
it's so fun.
Yeah.
And the most epic, well, boss battle I've ever had. You'll know when you get there.
Okay. And then the other day, my friend and I were playing. My friend has this thing where he can take a whole bunch of like emulator stuff and attach it to his Steam account. So every time he's playing like an old school emulator, it comes up as Steam. So,
okay.
So we played like a whole lot of SNES games, and one thing I remembered in particular was the Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters. You ever play that?
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude.
It was basically like Street Fighter, but with Ninja Turtles, and it was awesome. The only downside is that if you got somebody in the corner, they were fucked.
They were done.
They were fucked because there's no way to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Didn't that game Man Ray was a dude, right?
He had all the side
Yes,
dudes.
I think he was hidden.
What was his name? Stingray.
I think you're right. I think it was Manta Ray.
Manta Ray, right?
But I thought it was a
man dash
yeah.
Ta
yeah, yeah,
shark.
There was a shark.
In the game,
I thought it was
a shark.
There was a shark, and there was like a couple of hidden characters in there, too, that I didn't get to see because I only played like right from the you know, fresh out. So there was
Ray Filet.
There was War, Chrome Dome, Wingnut,
yeah.
Shredder.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was a lot of fun.
And the dinosaur was in there for some reason. I don't remember the dinosaurs.
I don't remember.
Oh, Jurassic Park was out of time. It was big.
Yeah.
Hey, you know.
I'm just getting vague flashes
the Turtles
of memories.
Had some weird shit in their cartoon, so.
That's it. He had a Triceratops.
All right, well, cool, man.
I'll go look that up.
Good for you playing that shit.
Yeah.
Max,
I'm
what are you doing this week?
I'm boring this week. More Far Cry.
More Far Cry?
Yeah. Just running through, collecting all the.
Did you actually beat the story mode?
Beat the story. Now I'm doing all the side stuff.
Does this add more to the story? Or are you just trying to get achievements?
It's more, you unlock a bunch of stuff. Achievements for some, weapons for others.
Kind
of
more like you like playing the game.
I just like the environment, and there's all these hidden artifacts, and there's these letters you have to collect, and these memory cards that I missed one of that's driving me insane, that I keep having to go back to every base I captured to find this memory card.
That's what happened to me in Saints Row 4. Basically, I'm standing in the middle of the city, and I'm like, there's nothing left for me to do. Like, I can't do anything else.
Burn it all down.
I got obsessed with that in Assassin's Creed, the first one, where I was like, there's a million flags. I collect them basically all, and you get nothing for it.
Well, in this one, they have hunting missions, which are super fun. And I didn't finish all the hunting missions, where they give you like a weapon, a very specific weapon, most often a bow and arrow or something weak like that. And they tell you, like, oh, go kill these 7 mystical albino tigers. And you have to go get slaughtered repeatedly.
Favorite hunting missions? Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, yeah, those were the best.
Definitely dopest. All right.
My personal favorite.
So that's what we're playing this week, right?
Yep.
Hmm.
You?
Oh, me? What am I playing? Suit up, I got my cape and my cowl on. Tonight I'm here to party, thanks to me the crime's gone. I saved the city once, I saved the city twice, I saved it 3 times, I deserve to skip the line, I'm back, suit up.
How far are you into the game at this point?
I'm pretty far into the game, to tell you the truth. Nah, you know what? It says 30-something percent done. I've been playing all weekend. Non-stop.
Yeah, I know. I tried to message you, and you were like, no.
Gotham needs me. It's a little different than the old ones, I'll say that. It's a little, unfortunately, clunkier.
I was worried about that.
Graphically, did Rocksteady do a better job? Or
yes. Rocksteady did a better job on the previous two.
Because I was looking at some of the graphics online, and I was like, "Geez, man! Like, I think Rocksteady just did a better job overall."
A noticeable dip?
It's not like it's still gonna be a super fun game, but
not so much. But like I tell everyone about the new Batman game that's asking me, it's like a cold beer on a Friday night. Even if it's not your favorite, it's still pretty fucking good. You know, it's especially good for people who love the comic book series, such as myself, because. Let me just, I don't want to spoil anything, but the Joker has a particular soliloquy that is mind-blowing.
Oh, I got it.
Mind-blowing God epiphany damn. Within his own mind.
Everyone's going to die.
Pretty much. But seeing all the characters together in this magnitude, Bane and the Joker working together and all that, pretty fun. Alfred, and it's more storyline that I'm in love with. Alfred has this really nasty incident with Bruce. Where he gives the old what?
He's got his check late.
Mm-hmm. Is he the version of Alfred that has like MI6 background and can fight?
Yeah, pretty much. He kind of hints at it, but he's more the version of Alfred that I haven't really seen explored too much. The look, dude, you guys knock this off. You're not Batman. You're not a badass.
Well, early Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. It's pretty cool. Just throwing out some hints for people. I am an advanced Arkham player, if you want to call it that. I still dive through the hard mode pretty well.
It's not that difficult.
Right. Oh, right.
Snap. Oh, shit.
But anyway, in this particular series, the counter or the Y button or what have you doesn't trump everything. In the old ones, they kind of... You'd be punching, and you'd see that little thing above your head indicating that somebody's going to punch you.
Hit counter.
And you start tapping Y, and it will. The enemy's punch trumps your movement in this. Like, if you're in the middle of a punch, and an enemy's coming to punch you, he will just punch you in the middle of the movement. It's not as free-flowing as it used to be.
Oh, that's rough. I noticed that with that Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows game. Had the same kind of play mechanic, but the counter worked. Just like what you said, I found it very frustrating.
Well, I mean, it's a little more realistic. It is a little frustrating, but
you're playing Batman. You don't necessarily want realism,
right? But well, what you can do is what I do is I pick a guy out of the crowd and I knock him out of the crowd on purpose. Like, well, it's not a combo until you hit. I don't want to get too far into it.
I'm already bored.
Right. Anyway. Pick an anchor dude, keep him out of the crowd so you can always flip back to him and punch. You know?
I see what you mean, okay.
So you're not always just in the mix. If you're in the mix, you're going to have a bad time.
You're going to have a bad time.
Right. Anyway, it's definitely worth it for the story. Definitely worth it for the story. I probably would have paid $60 just for the cutscenes and the story.
I'm saving my Assassin's Creed and that for the Xbox One. Just because... You know, those are single-player games anyway, so I don't really care if I'm not going to play a multiplayer on it, so...
Right. Well, you may have a problem with that, as you'll find out later tonight.
Oh, what?
Anyway, this is what's out. Games are out this week. I think we all know the big one. Call of Duty Ghosts is out Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
It is the 10th main installment for the franchise, and
I think Battlefield looks so much better than Call of
Duty. Yeah, when these come out once a year...
Battlefield has always looked better.
But not to me until this one.
Okay.
When they come out once a year, are they still exciting?
If you love the genre, then yeah.
Because I really like Call of Duty, and it just eventually wore me out. I just got tired of it.
Yeah,
it's every year...
You don't play the multiplayer mode at all, so you don't give a shit. You care about the story.
Well, even in the early games, I would at least attempt the multiplayer, and then it was...
Right, but
the
it
community,
can't be fun for you since you
well, the community,
big fat ding-dong at multiplayer.
Sucking a big fat ding-dong, it's the community is quick to remind you that they think you do.
Yeah, right. But regardless...
It's the roughest community I've ever played online with.
Yeah, but you like just like anything, you can mute everybody.
Again, not to foreshadow, you guys are doing a lot of foreshadowing. There's a harder community that we'll be discussing during news.
Okay.
Now, with what you were saying about it coming out every single year, the fact that they have two different companies making them kind of divides the community a bit, because there are people who will sit there and say Modern Warfare
Infinity Ward versus Treyarch.
To be honest with you, I like the actual Call of Duty Modern Warfare as far as the actual non-zombies mode.
Yeah,
that's way better. I feel than
everyone does.
Yeah,
does everyone.
Mean, like, multiplayer or like
whatever. Most regular multiplayer, but the zombies mode makes I think the other game much much more playable.
Because in Black Ops 2 and whatever the hell else, World at War, they have the zombies, and then Modern Warfare has like all the Spec Ops things. I thought those were fucking awesome.
Yeah,
those were a lot of fun.
Yeah, and as a single player guy, I like Modern Warfare so much better than any of the Black Ops stuff.
I want to play Modern Warfare 3 because it's the only one I haven't played yet, but just for the story because I want to know how it ends.
Yeah.
I know how
no, it I ends. Didn't play that one either, and I'm interested too.
I know how it ends, but I want to see like the whole wrap-up.
Oh, see, I've always played the Call of Duty games because I'm such a fervent multiplayer dude, but I really don't care about the. I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum. I don't care about single player.
I love the stories and everything. I never really cared about multiplayer until I started playing Black Ops 1, and then more so with Black Ops 2. This is the first time I've ever prestiged in a fucking Call of Duty game on purpose. Like I actually played enough to prestige, and that's because I started to actually enjoy playing multiplayer. But I still like. As far as the later games, I love the stories.
The first one, I got to the last level of prestige all the way up within the first 2.5-3 months. I think by the time of the new year, I had it done. And then that was the last time I ever played Modern Warfare. I was so done with it.
See, the problem is, though, that I suck. I can't level up that fast.
Well, I mean, to my credit, that I had a fucking good crew running in that, too. Like, it wasn't just... I was good at it, but, like, my crew was fucking nasty.
We were going running nice.
Kill everybody.
We were running nice. Anyway, yeah. New to the game is Cranked. Which is a new mode that I enjoy that they came out with.
You Jason Statham in there?
Pretty much. every time you kill someone, it's a team-based game, and every time you kill someone, it triggers a timer, and the player must kill another person before the timer reaches zero, otherwise they die. And the player's movement is enhanced during this mode.
So my kill-death ratio will be like 1-to-1.
Well, you get faster and faster the more kills you get.
So you are straight up Jason Statham in that movie.
Yeah. Pretty much. You're Chelios. Eventually. Also, we talked about Blitz, which is capture the flag, but you only have to touch the flag, and then you go back. Notable, there is a cooldown mode so that 10 people can't just Blitz the flag at once and just, like, get 10 points.
Well, since, I mean, if it's going to be like that, it might be a camper's delight.
Right.
Where, well, like, if you just
capture the flag has always been a camper's delight.
No, but, like, even more so where all you have to do is touch it, you're not going to get, like, the other team camping the flag so much. Everyone's going to be like, oh, I get a fucking flag if I just touch the damn thing. They'll just be, you know, blaming themselves, right?
There's got to be something more to it then.
Well, also, just to throw that out there, I always hated the word camper for capture the flag because it's called protecting the base.
Mm-hmm. There's something between protecting the base and then I want to get my kill-to-death ratio up.
Right.
It's two different things. It's not like the guy's just like, guys, there's a guy coming in here from this angle. We got to protect the flag. He's just like,
shh. Well, I mean, even silence even possibly so, helpful, you know? I mean, like the campers in team deathmatch or something else.
Well, campers in team deathmatch just piss me off. But for capture the flag, at least that's a little bit more strategic. Because, like, say you walk into a place that has a couple of openings and you know... Like you walk in there, you get shot by the guys, but you still see where they are. So that way, the next time you come in, you just throw a fucking grenade,
okay.
Grab the flag, and run.
Well, actually, if your whole team camped in team deathmatch, you probably would win. Just because the other people running around get, like, you know, murked so often. Like, it's always people running around that are getting, like, usually killed up.
I tried both.
Anyway, I'm not going to talk that much about Call of Duty Ghosts because I'm sure everyone's getting blitzed everywhere you are on it, on the internet or on your Facebook, or I'm sure if you're sitting at a bus stop, you're watching Call of Duty somehow.
Any retail outlet, any bus that passes by, like you said.
Right. So, also out this week, State of Decay, which has been out for Xbox for a while, but it's hitting Steam this week.
That zombie game?
Yeah. Sandbox-style zombie game that debuted on Xbox Live.
That putted for me real quick. I played like a half hour.
You were into it for like a week, right?
Yeah.
I was with you for that. And then just turned into, let's see how like quickly we could drive this car off a cliff.
A lot of those games, the only game I really, with open worldness, that didn't get me into that was Grand Theft Auto V, just because the story was so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I played through a bunch of that. Like, that was a really good game. But those open world games, I just kind of get, like...
Sidetracked.
I get sidetracked with, like, hey, you know what? I would love to drive a car through a window or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually, like, 25% done with Grand Theft Auto, but it definitely took a backseat for...
Gee, I wonder what's coming.
Batman. Anyway, I'm not going to do it.
So you hit the button and everything.
I know, I was about to. Anyway, Castle Storm out for PlayStation 3 now. Castle Storm, I talked about it on the show before. It's a physics-based game, kind of like Angry Birds, and it's a tower defense, Knights versus Vikings. I liked it. It was what I was playing like maybe a month ago. It's a good game. People should go pick it up. Cheap. Anyway, and lastly, the game that I want to take a look at that I found interesting. In itself, it is not interesting, but its backstory is interesting.
Uh-oh.
Final Exam, which is a horror-themed side-scroll brawler. And it was originally announced by the developer Mighty Rocket Studios as a prequel to the mid-2000s franchise titled Obscure.
If no anyone shit.
Remembers it. Does anyone remember Obscure?
No.
But here's the thing. They copped out. People started whining that it was going to be a side scroller, so they copped out and made it Final Exam and made it about four other teens. People who don't know, let me go into Obscure, especially because I wrote it down. Obscure. But Obscure was an awesome game back in 2000. As far as
awesome's a strong word.
Obscure was an average game that had potential.
Obscure was a game.
Obscure was a game
that had potential. It was four teens get locked in the high school overnight while they're trying to find their missing friend, and they find out that the principal and nurse are like over 100 years old and injecting students with like plant spores to try and find them.
Everything you hate about survival horror, where you had no ammo, no life, no nothing, and you're fighting plant monsters.
There was one amazing thing in that game, though.
What was that?
It was the energy drink of funk. Because whenever you drink an energy drink, funk music starts playing, and you just start walking around.
Well, it was one of the first.
I played through that whole game, and what I didn't know is that you had to. They gave you the ending of the character you played the most. Mm-hmm. And the character I played the most was the only one who got nothing out of the ending. Like, everyone else is making out and fucking and getting drunk, and my character's sitting there like, that was fun.
You got the Charlie Almost Brown ending.
Unrewarding ending ever played.
Charlie Brown ending.
Well, it started with some elements of the joining weapons, like you put the flashlight on the gun and stuff. That was kind of cool. Yeah. That was like a precursor to Dead Rising or whatnot.
This is Xbox original?
That game comes out soon, too, right?
I thought Obscure was
PlayStation
on the Wii.
2. Obscure was on PlayStation 2.
I saw Obscure at the Aftermath on the Wii.
They had a sequel, Obscure 2, which was the survivors in college. And this was supposed to be a prequel. Which they copped out and made just this rather unextraordinary game called Final Exam. I kind of wish they would have done it because I would have liked to see a reboot, but I just think it's a missed opportunity.
You hear that, Pete? It's a prequel. Your favorite.
Prequel to a game like Obscure? That sounds like mediocre piled on top of mediocre.
It's your favorite.
Right. So anyway, that's out. That's what's out this week.
When does Dead Rising come out, by the way? It comes out soon, right?
Dead Rising with the new 3? System?
Yeah, with the new system. It's like, what, like 2 weeks now?
I think so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, 2 weeks is PlayStation's coming out 2 weeks.
You should check your pre-order receipt.
Well, I know it's 22nd. It was the 4th. So like,
yeah,
I'm surprised GameStop hasn't sent you one of those super special letters that they sent.
Someone unsubscribed you.
No, I actually unsubscribed to GameStop. It's now the Game Hut.
Oh, Game Hut?
Yeah.
That's a good move.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, let's roll into the news. That's pretty much all the games that I can think of that are out this week that's of note.
So. I haven't paid attention.
Let's hit the news. Wow, fuck. Why is my volume going straight down? why is my volume not working?
I couldn't tell you, man.
News team, assemble!
Good news, everyone. Bad news, everyone.
Not heard?
It was my understanding that everyone had heard.
Anyway, Max, you were talking about Call of Duty being some of the most hostile environments you can be socially.
Yeah.
Correct?
Hostile community.
Yeah, hostile community. That's not true. Where do you hear this? Defense of the Ancients 2, Steam's biggest and most played game. Anyone?
Dota 2. Okay.
Right. That's the Ancients.
I only knew it as Dota.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how it comes up on Steam for me, so. Yeah.
I know. Well, anyway, they went bonkers, man. They went absolutely
what
fucking
happened?
Bonkers.
Awesome.
Well, I don't want to insult them in any way, shape, or form. Let them know that I have nothing but love for them. You see, okay, Halloween. Now
tell us how much you hate them.
I see torches approaching the house.
No, please, God, no. Halloween, a lot of games that we know of have Halloween events. If anyone remembers, I played Final Fantasy Online, and they had Halloween events within the city, and there's special items that you can only buy on certain dates and stuff. Halo did it. Right. They renamed the boards, and they introduced zombies for the first time as an official thing.
So doing a fun little festive holiday thing.
Right.
I'm going to get hated on a little bit, but to interject, on FIFA, they actually said Happy Halloween.
Nice, nice. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Pertinent.
Anyway, Team Fortress, they do Scream Fortress, you know, just fun stuff. And
what
for
did Dota do?
Dota 2, they usually do Diretide. Guess what they didn't do this year? Diretide.
What's Diretide?
Diretide is just their Halloween thing where you can buy little weapons.
No,
with
Dota
Halloween.
Didn't.
No, Dota didn't. And it got so nasty that the game forums were hammered, just flooded to the point where any thread that ever mentioned Diretide was removed by Valve.
Digital Riot, table
right.
Flip.
Oh, there was a Digital
Get
Riot.
Get to your keyboards!
That's not all that happened. I'm sorry, I'm just...
I'm waiting for the real bad news here.
Oh, you want to hear more?
Standing out here yelling, rabble, 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 isn't going to help anything.
Rabble.
But we don't know what else. This
is pretty much what happened. Anyway, it got so nasty that a couple auto spell corrects came out Volvo, please fix, and Volvo, I hate you, instead of Valve. It actually caused the crowd to spill over their fury onto Volvo, the car company, Twitter and Facebook, and their dealerships, where people were calling Volvo, telling them they hate them, they want it back. Volvo took it in a pretty good stride.
Like, yeah, the car isn't that great.
No, Volvo actually started tweeting back to Valve, hey, we really want to see a little bit of Diretide on Dota 2.
Nice.
When Dota came out when Valve tried to stem it with hats, Volvo actually tweeted back in Valve, hats are great, but we really wanted to see Diretide.
Was there any reasoning why they didn't do it?
No, that's why everyone was so mad. Everyone was so mad because they just pretended it didn't happen and no, they didn't address anything. Anyway, it also spilled over onto President Barack Obama's Facebook page. Was bombarded with it by the time they were done. They bombed Metacritic. So that the game, which was rated 8 and change, is now a solid 4.
I mean, these people have felt very, very strongly.
A literal digital riot.
Dude, it was absolutely bonkers.
This is
Anonymous is jealous.
Yeah, right? It's kind of sad if you think about it. There was a lot of time spent on harassing a video game company to put out a Halloween mask.
Harassing a car company is where I chose.
We want skeleton masks and guns.
Well, look, that was collateral damage.
Well, the good thing with the Volvo thing, and I like this for a lot of different companies, is when they can actually kind of go back at anybody who kind of gives them shit, and it's always really fun. Like, whoever controls the Twitter for some companies, they're hysterical.
It was cute.
Yeah, that was well played.
The Sassy Walmart's my favorite. Anyone read Sassy Walmart?
No.
They got a good Twitter going on. Anyway.
Taco Bell's got a good one, too.
Taco Bell's
their Twitter's great.
Next piece of news, speaking of Steam, ever since Half-Life 3 has been confirmed, people are wondering, is it going to be exclusive to Steam?
Wait, is that actually confirmed? Because I heard some other people saying that it was, like, accidentally, like, it wasn't supposed to be.
No, Half-Life 3 is definitely
confirmed.
It's
definitely confirmed.
I heard it was.
Okay, because I heard that, and then I heard something.
And enough. People are wondering, is it going to be exclusive to Steam, which would be kind of...
It would give, Steam a boost?
It would be a good financial move, kind of a dicky move.
What do you think?
I don't know
about
dicky. Financial
move for Steam, but like, I mean, Half-Life, you're losing a lot of audience when you just put it on the one.
But Half-Life is already such a specific game to such a specific set of people. It's not a big mainstream thing.
Yeah.
I mean, with that Half-Life.
They're Valve fans already.
Well, they ported it to Xbox and no one gave a shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that was one of the games of the year. Was that in Portal? Like
Orange Box.
Orange Box.
Arrested Development was one of the TV shows of the year, but they didn't stop it from getting canceled. Anyway, in a press statement this week, Valve has said, no, it's not going to be exclusive to Steam. They're going to throw it all around. They said their whole company is about game sharing, and they don't want to force anybody to play it on Steam.
Good.
They really need to contact Peter Gabriel with the Steam thing, man.
Step into this cloud.
is that what's going on?
I got that.
What threw me off is the guy who runs Steam is Gabe Newell.
Okay.
So I thought you were confusing Gabe Newell with Peter Gabriel.
I think you were confusing Gabe Newell with Peter Gabriel.
What threw me off is I don't know any Peter Gabriel songs.
Steam.
In Your Eyes?
That one. And the one from the last episode of Scrubs.
Book of Love.
Book of Love. Anyway, last...
Really clicks a nose, Peter Gabriel, mother.
Sledgehammer!
Wait, was the book... No, the Book of Love was a song that he did, but he covered somebody else.
No, I mean, he still... Okay, was his version. Yeah.
It was a beautiful song. Let's move on.
Yeah, we'll be right back with Talking Gabriel.
Anyway, Ubisoft...
Sledgehammer!
Ubisoft, Axis, Uplay Passport. Excellent.
Good.
Excellent, excellent.
Who cares?
Now, we all know what online passports are all about. It's about the companies basically wanting a little cheddar.
Yeah.
Douche.
And EA did away with theirs, presumably after they won Worst Company in America second year in a row.
Those things suck, man. You have to enter in like a 40-digit passcode. It's retarded. Like the whole last page of the book is a passcode you got to enter. It's
older in Far Cry, it was like, you unlocked a Uplay bonus. I'm like, I don't care. I never looked at the Uplay.
Fun. You can only get exclusive.
I don't want anything to do with it.
You can take
it.
Your Uplay back and go play with yourself.
You play. Not me play.
Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, Ubisoft came under criticism when game dedicated websites discovered that Assassin's Creed 4 fleet management system, in which you can pull up different ships at will, would not be available in single player modes unless you had the passport. People thought that was going a little too far, messing with the single-player mode.
Mm-hmm.
So now, just 5 business days later after it comes out, the company is doing away with that and any other passport in the future.
Yeah, they tried to sneak it in there to make up for Splinter Cell.
Right. Well, it's all going to be free from now on. They're keeping the system, and anybody who purchased it is going to have to contact their consumer reports and assumably get a refund.
Presumably.
Better.
Get a $5 refund and $5 processing fee.
Anyway, good for them, man. I hate these online passports.
Yeah, they're stupid.
I got to enter in like 45 fucking numbers. It's awful. Hated it. Hated it when I had to do the save codes back in the day.
Yeah.
All right. So that about wraps the news. No, guys, seriously. No, the news is over. I think it's time to take a test.
This is a test.
Pop quiz, hotshot.
Test your might.
And I'm going to kick that son of a bitch Dyson's ass so hard.
This is only a test.
Novus is getting psyched up.
Okay, in this test, I'm warning you guys, the last question is worth 3 points.
Okay.
And you only get 5 seconds to answer.
That's the only rule.
The only rule is whoever answers the last question gets
you guys can do whatever you want, biting, punching, I don't give a fuck.
Table flip.
All right, anyway, I hope you guys are hungry because tonight's test is all about games Pac-Man. That feature food. No.
Burger Time?
Maybe. Anyway.
First of all, Pac-Man had a bunch of cherries, bananas, all types of shit in there.
You're right. That'll be brought up. Good for you. You can lose points on this test.
How many questions?
6 questions plus the bonus question, which is worth 3 points.
Okay.
And you'll see why. There will be a timer on the last question, so act accordingly.
And I assume we just raise our hands and all that crap.
Yes, you do. All
right, Trojan wants to come in for this.
All right. We got a dog in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, question 1. This game featured the adventures of Chef Peter Pepper, whose job it was to build hamburgers by walking over their ingredients. Novus Redemptor.
Burger Time. See, I called it.
First question.
I know. When you said it, my heart broke. Question 2.
That's okay. I'll pick the pieces.
Which fruit is the first to appear on level 1 of Pac-Man? Max Barracuda.
Cherry?
I got real shit for that Pac-Man thing. It was the second question.
They actually have like a sequence of when they how they show up?
Yeah.
Call and answers at willy-nilly.
I didn't know that.
Number three, name this addictive touchscreen game in which Giant Shock.
Candy Crush.
Oh. Since he got that wrong, I think I can automatically assume what the other answer is.
Nova's Redemption?
Fruit Ninja? Bummer.
Nice. In which players control a blade in order to slice open items such as oranges, apples, and watermelons. Anyway, question four. The Cooking Mama franchise was first released on which system? Max Barracuda.
I think it was the DS.
Nice. They had a Wii one, but it came second. Cooking Mama Coco.
What's a Wii?
It's like all the Wii ones.
Question not five. Released in 2003 and featuring a worker named Flo, name this strategy game based on creating a fast food restaurant.
Isn't that the bitch from Progressive?
I'm caught up on that.
No one?
Got nothing.
Nah, it's two words. I'm going to name the first word to help you guys out. Diner?
Diner Dash?
Nova's Redemptor. Diner Dash.
That seems like it's way late in the game for a game like that to be coming out. Like, in 2003?
Is it? Wasn't it's that like a Japanese-only thing?
No.
I was thinking of a different game then.
No. Anyway, number six. Number six is a multiple choice.
Oh, shit.
Name the fast food restaurant chain featured in Grand Theft Auto series.
I'm out.
A, Freckle Bitches. B, Taco Bueno. C, Gay's Papaya. Or D, Burger Shot.
I might as well take a guess.
Giant Shock.
The last one, Burger Shot.
Freckle Bitches.
Freckle Bitches.
Well, that was clever. That was obviously Wendy's.
Freckle, I wouldn't have gotten that.
Freckle, my new favorite thing ever.
Freckle bitches is from Saints Row.
We don't call them gingers anymore. We call them Freckle Bitches.
Freckle Bitches.
Freckle Bitches, Saints Row, Taco Bueno, King of the Hill, Gay's Papaya, I came up on my own.
That one seemed... little out of place.
Right.
Gay's Papaya.
Papaya is actually a New York based franchise. Oh, yeah. I don't know if they're around the country.
I mean, Gay's Papaya almost sells itself. It's a hot dog fucking company, right? Like,
all right.
It's super funny.
Anyway, and the bonus question.
This is the last one?
Yeah.
All right.
Bonus questions are at 2 points.
Oh, so it's not.
Three is ridiculous. Yeah, this is it. This is the last one.
You told us like five times when they started. 3 points, 5 seconds.
Because it's ridiculous. No, I only have six.
2 points.
I didn't realize. It's 2 points. 2 points. Max has a chance to win. Novus has a chance to...
Dominate.
Giant can tie Max.
Mm.
So that's nice. And it's a 5 second limit. In 2006, the Burger King fast food chain restaurant released 3 Adver Gaming titles, which were offered for just $3.99 with any value purchase. Name 2 of these 3 games.
I've seen them before and they're kind of scary.
I could describe them to you. I couldn't say the name.
I know you have them because you have the achievements on your Xbox.
Yes, that's where I got the question.
They were
just 2 of them.
From what I understand, you basically sneak up on people and just kind of shove Burger King in their
face. Yeah, and then there was like a race.
Can everyone answer or just whoever gets it wrong first loses?
No, raise your hand and you get 2 points if you can name 2 of the 3. Nobody?
I can't think of the names.
Yeah, I didn't bother to remember the names.
Who'd have thought that'd come back?
There's one on a little motor. He's on a little fucking mini bike.
All right. Yeah. There's a racing one, the hiding one. I want to call it. I know the name of the one. It was Sneak King.
Okay. All right. 10, 5. Oh, 3.
Burger
2?
Rush.
Giant Shock, Chance to Steal?
Sneak King and Mini Bike Racer. What was it?
I'm sorry, the correct answers are Sneaking, Big Bumpin', and the Pocket Bike Racer.
Pocket Bike.
Pocket.
I'm sorry, Big Bumpin' sounds like, you know, fat porn.
Big Bumpin'.
I'm sure there's one out there, but Big Bumpin' was actually a bumper car game.
If it doesn't exist, I'll make it.
All the games are pretty good. All the games are pretty good. They were solid for Fortnite.
I just, you know, because, again, it's the Burger King guy, and he's really ridiculously creepy. And all I heard about was just, you know, him sneaking up on people and giving them food.
It was the best $3.99.
Roofied food. And you have to bring it back to your castle.
Is that ridiculous smile?
All right. So in last place with 0 points, Mr. Giant Shot.
Nice.
Second place with 2 respectable points, Max Barracuda.
Woo.
And 3 points, Novus Redemptor, our winner today. Now,
I don't have a soundbite yet.
I don't have a soundbite, so I'm going to play Giants.
Never heard it.
We've never heard it before.
Giant Shock.
How would you personify a Novus Redemptor anyway in a soundbite?
Well, it's supposed to mean like new Redeemer and new Christ, so give me something really blasphemous.
The Hulk Hogan theme.
Sacrilicious.
There you go. Use that.
All right. I think we're bringing back something just for Novus, because he mentioned something last week. He mentioned 2 things, as a matter of fact. He mentioned he missed the segment, and he also mentioned he doesn't know much about Assassin's Creed. Here we go.
History of gaming.
I miss those.
You're hating, but you're always laughing.
No, right now. Like, again, I just got to the 2.0 thing, so you don't have the A squad.
Oh, man. I forgot that one. I don't miss
squad.
That one.
Come on, the Warriors, man.
No, but it's just so bad. I'm kidding. But I'm not.
Not really.
All right, so we're doing Assassin's Creed History. It's a newer game, so it was harder to find history. So I found a bunch of interesting facts. Toss them together.
Salute, Peter.
Salute. Well, Assassin's Creed was originally conceived not as its own game, but as a co-op version of the Prince of Persia games, originally titled Prince of Persia Assassins.
And I can see that.
Yeah, the same kind of... I mean, and for a while there, Ubisoft was doing one and one. So 1 year it'd be a Prince of Persia game, the next year it'd be Assassin's Creed. And they did that for a few years. Now it's pretty much Assassin's Creed all year, every year.
And then that Gyllenhaal movie came out, and they were like, okay, let's go Assassin's Creed.
You see that thing? They made the right call. That was a terrible movie.
I didn't even see it.
You're lucky. The series took its inspiration from a novel called Alamut by the Slovenian writer Vladimir Bartol from 1938. Story set in the Crusades about a man named Ibn Tahir, which is very close to
Altair.
If you say it real fast.
Ibn Tahir. Well, Ibn is Altair's middle name.
Who read that book from the Slovak guy from the 1930s? Jesus, that's a reach.
Yeah, somebody at Ubisoft likes their Slovenian history.
How's that guy doing nowadays?
But they lifted a bunch of stuff from that. You know, different real-life people, different historical people, locations. Even the phrase of Assassin's Creed is lifted. The book includes the term, nothing is absolute reality, all is permitted. In the game, it's nothing is permitted. No, nothing is true, everything is permitted.
Right.
So they even took that. The number one rule for an Assassin's Creed game, every major character that you assassinate is a real person, and the time and location of their death is accurate.
Oh, really?
That's every major story character that you don't...
I didn't realize that.
Yep. Assassin's Creed 3 creative director was quoted saying, we have a rule. Everyone dies in the right year, at the right place. They have to be real people.
I didn't know that. Tell us more, Uncle Mac.
Great. So was the Pope Borgia, he died in the catacombs of Rome with all the alien shit?
He died from a flu. So maybe that was...
In the catacombs of Rome, surrounded by aliens.
Cesare Borgia, for example. Remember, you kill him on the wall during that battle?
Yeah.
In truth, he was stabbed in the back during that battle, and nobody knows who did it.
Was that Cesare, or is that the other one?
I believe that was Cesare.
Yeah.
So that's like, that's the first one that I saw that kind of grabbed me. Going back to the first name, you see Altair. His name is Arabic, and it has a couple themes. Their names all have themes. For example, Altair means flying one, or bird of prey. His last name, Ibn La'ahad, means son of none. Or son of no one. Ezio, Oratore de Firenze, means like an eagle, Ezio. And Oratore de Firenze means a banker from Florence. But that's a family name. So
okay.
Less interesting than son of none.
I meant Daddy Mac.
Daddy Mac. Like an eagle, Daddy Mac.
He's a smooth operator.
Back to Assassin's Creed 1, a little Easter egg you could find while you're climbing around the cities. The
feathers.
No, it's not feathers. This is better. The game designers thought it'd be fun, considering when this game came out, around 07, right? What was the big movie in 07? Transformers. So, in place of a lot of gargoyles, there are Optimus Primes littered throughout the city.
Really?
As relief sculptures on the building.
Do you know which cities, or just all of them?
I don't know the cities,
city.
But here
it's
I have
the one city in Assassin's Creed 1.
You could see
it's
it
not as a multi-city game.
As yeah,
no, you gotta like no. ride your horse to
one was
you're
multi.
Thinking of two.
One no, was multi-city.
Altair?
Yeah, had Jerusalem.
You had to ride your horse literally.
It had Masyaf.
I was obsessed with finding all those stupid little Templars and killing them.
Okay.
Yeah, and they were. I am so glad they got rid of that.
Yes, yes.
Like overworld until 3, and 3 fixed it. But if you see two boarded up windows above a triple shuttered window, in a number of buildings, you'll see the Optimus Prime. So it's up there. Cool. Let's see, what else do I got? A little bit of Assassin's Creed in jokes. In AC2, there's a mission where you have to deliver a letter to a farmer. This is one of those little things that's like historically more interesting that you would never pick up on playing. You have to deliver this letter to a farmer, and you read the letter. It says, you learn the farmer is charged with attacking his neighbors with swords, and that it states the farmer has committed crimes against God and nature, and if you are not aware of the charges against you, read Leviticus 18:23. Leviticus 18:23 is the Bible verse about fucking animals. So all those little things, whenever you see a Bible verse, check them out.
I remember that mission, and I just killed the guy.
I just assumed the guy that Leviticus 18:12 was about having sex with animals at that point. They kind of set that up.
I don't recall them doing any setup for that.
Thought so.
I don't remember reading the letter at all. I just remember, like, because there's a lot of shit to read in these games, and like eventually after finding a million flags, it's like, all right, kill that guy.
But you killed the guy? Wait a second. You killed the guy? You were just like, oh, I don't care what he did.
Reading is for suckers, apparently.
No, I mean, there's a lot of bullshit. Like, I after, like, the 25th, like, historical character, you read your bio, it's like, I'm not reading the letter that I'm fucking sending to some random farmer.
I played through, like, Mass Effect 3 times. I know about long-winded.
Too much journal entries and shit like that.
Like, I think after Resident Evil 3, I never picked up one of those notes and read them ever again. Like, they're little journals. Like, in the first one, you're like, oh my god, what happened? After, the second one, you're like, I don't care.
Something
about the T-Virus, whatever.
Especially in Assassin's Creed 3, where it's like, I know what George Washington did. I don't need 20 pages of biography of him.
Well, on the night of not chopping the maple tree down.
You're doing a Lincoln impression?
Yes.
Yeah, that was definitely not George Washington.
I know.
Well, in Assassin's Creed 3, you were originally going to have a lot of different abilities. You were going to have a chain sword, which they got rid of, which is apparently a sword on the end of a chain. They felt that was too science fiction. So
that would have been awesome.
Well, I've been sick.
Little sci-fi. Instead, they replaced it with the dart. Have you gotten to the dart?
All right.
The dart?
It's a dart with a rope that you could use to snare animals.
Nah.
It looks pretty cool when he twirls it.
It's one of the cooler weapons in the game. Also, you were going to be able to scalp people.
That would have been awesome.
They took that out when they found out that the Mohawks in real life never did that. And that, little out of character for Connor. So, got rid of that.
Regardless, that would have been awesome.
It would have been cool. I would have scalped some people.
Yeah.
I'd do it in Batman.
There were a couple people I really hated.
That's because it's Creed, though.
Batman's Creed?
I don't care. Suit up, I got my cape
and my cowl on. Actually, was it me and Pete used to joke that like the Assassin's Creed, the new one, should be Batman, where you find out that he's a descendant of Altair and Ezio and all that shit.
Yeah.
You just blew my goddamn mind.
Batarangs that shoot out his wrists.
Our little fucking Assassin's Creed logos and shit.
Nice.
Well, copyrighted Pete and Burr.
Yeah.
Pete and Brian.
We're going to do a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed 3, little hidden thing. I found this on accident after reading about it. It is the most useless of any Easter egg ever. All right, so you're in Assassin's Creed. You have your main manor. You up to that? You know that part?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you sneak around the outer wall and whistle, a turkey appears. And if you input the Konami code, the turkey all of a sudden has an assassin's hood wrap over its head.
That's awesome.
I messed around with this for a while. Found the turkey, did the thing, killed the turkey, nothing happens. You get nothing for doing this. It's just a turkey in a hood. It's retarded.
That is sick. Awesome.
I like the sound of that.
A better Easter egg comes in The Witcher 2 from 2011. I don't know if you guys ever played that game.
I haven't played it yet.
There's a portion of the game where you're going through a dungeon and you find a series of haystacks. And if you kind of root through the haystacks and get to the middle of them, you find the body of Altair face down, splattered against the ground, as if he missed one of his leaps of faith and just hit the ground real hard.
Since I mean, I had no idea they were going for like this true realism thing after the series. Man, I mean, haystacks, come on now. Yeah. you were swan diving off of like 400-foot objects.
Yeah. To land into a very shallow hay bale.
First time out there.
You know how to land.
Yeah, right. Senton bomb of death.
And finally, I couldn't find much on Assassin's Creed 4 because it's brand new, but there is one part that I found super interesting. You know, in the Animus, you get the emails that you probably don't check that because I don't care to check.
Oh, yeah, those emails.
After, like, that British guy kept talking to me about, like, I gotta move quicker, a couple, like, I'm like, fuck you, dude.
Well, I never checked those either, but I'm gonna have to do it in the new game, because there is an email, and I just found this online, that gives you a full list of what may be the upcoming Assassin's Creed games. In other words, they give you a lineage on the father and mother side of Desmond Miles, the main protagonist.
Okay.
And some of them are familiar. 15th century Italian Renaissance, we know that guy. 12th century Holy Land Crusades, we know that guy. We know American colonies, War for Independence. Here's some other ones. 16th century Ottoman Empire. 19th century New England and American Midwest. We got 13th century Egypt and Northern Africa. We got 14th century Japan. 18th century French Revolution. 19th century Napoleonic Wars and Taiwan. And 20th century, the Summer of Love on the American Pacific Coast.
Okay, guys, I'm calling it right now. The next one's Japan.
I would like to see Japan one.
It's got to be.
I've been waiting for that.
It's got to be.
Like Shogun style? Like.
Samurai would be a great thing to add into Assassin's Creed.
It's definitely going to be Japan, fellas.
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing a lot of those. French Revolution could be interesting.
French Revolution
would
be awesome.
Egypt would be really cool to me.
Where does the new one fit into all those, though?
The newest one is a generation before Assassin's Creed 3. So you start off the game as Haytham Kenway.
But I mean, like, it doesn't fit into any of what you just said?
No. American colonies and War for Independence. Still in that era.
Oh. This is literally like 50 years before.
You play the grandfather. In the new one, you play Edward Kenway, who's the grandfather of Connor, the protagonist of Assassin's Creed 3.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So my vote would be I'd rather see Egypt.
Egypt would be awesome.
Japan for me, man.
Oh, what about ancient Greece? That'd be great, too. Like Rome and ancient Greece and shit like that?
I'm kind of curious about cool. That Summer of Love, American Pacific Coast.
No, that's San Francisco, like the least one.
Taking out hippies, man.
I don't really
taking out hippies.
Oh, nah.
We get to go to Altamont for some bikers.
At that point, you need guns.
Like, it's like a switchblade wrist. Like,
are no you, more.
But you have guns in the new ones. Right. In Assassin's Creed 3, you have guns.
But swords are mingled into that war. You know, the knives are still... I mean, the knives are totally useless in the 60s.
Not if they shoot out and shit. Like,
well, you know what? In Assassin's Creed 1, I know this too, originally Altair was going to have his hidden blade and he was going to have a crossbow. But during the game testing of it, they decided to do away with the crossbow because too many players were just relying too heavily on it
right.
when they wanted to put the focus on the blade. Since then, in both 2 and 3, you've gotten projectiles. You've gotten a crossbow. You've gotten a gun.
The gun thing.
In 3, you get a bow and arrow,
and everyone has a rifle,
and you can take rifles. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they got to keep it moving. They got to keep it evolving.
I was an axe dude in 4 or in 3.
I was an axe dude too, actually.
I used to like to run. I like to run, and pick up the actual rifles, shoot, and keep on like, drop and run, and like it's just the game mechanics. Is so
it works.
Awesome.
That works better in big battle scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
when you get to the actual like Bunker Hill and everything, that's the way to play those.
I would like to see Civil War, because that's still in the same era. You can still use blades, mostly.
I want
to
see them take a minute, get away from America, do another game, and maybe then go back to Civil War.
Well, you did 3 in Italy.
Japan.
Might as well do a trilogy in America.
They're not doing any more trilogies.
Yeah.
Like, now Japan. It's one character, one game.
But I'm saying a lineage trilogy of, like, you know, you're going to do the Pirates of the Caribbean one, then the fucking the Revolution one, then do, like, a Civil War one. And then that's, like, your American history of it.
Do 3 different guys at 3 different times?
Yeah, then do Egypt,
son, maybe.
Yeah, do Egypt, Rome.
That's interesting.
You could do Egypt, Rome, and Greece or something like that.
3 really, actually, I don't know if you got the 3 or if this is in spoiler territory. This won't ruin the ending of the game.
Yeah, just to say.
One of the final shots is the end of the American Revolution, and as Connor, you've kind of saved the day, and it ends with him looking at a slave auction and kind of giving you that look of there's still work to do. So it would make sense to extend that story to his children, to the Civil War, freeing slaves.
Spoiler alert, we won the American Revolution. Sorry. Yeah.
Well, I didn't reveal how anybody died.
Well, I had gotten to a little bit of Legos this week, so it was rough. But as far as the Assassin's Creed game goes, I would like to do, like,
The three games of Ezio was a bit much just for that one character.
Yeah,
but I would like to do, like, okay, now you're doing his grandfather, and then you do maybe his children, and then maybe you, like, you want to see Egypt. I would like to incorporate Greece and Rome into that, because that's the same time frame.
And what I also found interesting about this thing was that they kind of define who is fits where. So you see that Ezio is on his father's side, mm-hmm. while Altair is on his mother's side, and Connor is back on his father's side. So you could kind of see where the, you know, he's a darker-skinned guy, Desmond. You could see that he's from Middle Eastern and eventually American Indian descent. On his mother's side, he's very much Italian. He's got some Egyptian in there, some French. So there's, like, kind of defines where he comes from.
Obviously,
I always wondered about that.
Obviously, they're building up to eventually have Desmond have a game. Like,
well, get to the end of three first.
He really needs to kick an ass. Well, I mean,
you got to get to the end of three first.
No, I know.
Well, eventually, that's got to be the end game, right? Where, like, Desmond has to have something in his world.
Really trying not to spoil anything.
Yeah.
All right. Well, whatever.
And then you find out his sister was the girl from Mirror's Edge, and she gets her own thing. So I can get Mirror's Edge back. That would be so sick.
They're making Mirror's Edge.
Are they number two?
Yeah, they announced it at E3.
I don't remember hearing that.
Yeah, I'll show you some stuff.
Yeah.
It looks great.
All right, and lastly for the night. I would like to, Anyway, I would like to have a little discussion. Hopefully other people join in on the forums or, well, on the Facebook, the Twitter.
We have a forum?
We don't.
That's what he calls it.
Why don't you go attack Volvo?
The Facebook and the Twitter.
Go hit up Volvo
hit
as
up
much
Volvo
as you can.
Hit up Volvo if you listen to this. This is A Squad Talking Point.
I feel like I'm on Fox News or something.
It also sounds a
like
lot
deal
like
no deal. It's like I'll take case number 13, sir.
It also sounds like the game over from Street Fighter 4.
You know why I didn't know that? Because I played that fucking game.
Right. Nobody did.
You know why?
I never fucking got beat.
Exactly.
Anyway, new talking point that I'd like to discuss, and I want to hear people chime in on it, is the new systems. We all know you have to download the game into the hard drive.
Oh,
which
yeah.
None of us hate. Right?
Love it.
Nope, and it comes with a big, fatty 500 gigabyte hard drive.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. But according to the...
Round that to a halt.
That was nice.
But according to the specs of the new games, I was looking at them. Assassin's Creed 4 takes up almost 50 gigabytes on your hard drive. Battlefield takes up almost 50 gigabytes on your hard drive.
How much are they charging us for cloud service?
I don't know, man.
Could you hook up your external hard drive to it?
Well, here's the thing. PlayStation doesn't offer external hard drives.
Wait, you have to install the entire game?
Yeah, you do.
It's only if you decided to digitally download it.
Oh, No.
No.
Even if you have
the
disc, you have to.
Oh, they're all going to be like Grand Theft Auto 5?
Yes.
What's the point of the disc?
Install disc.
People like holding.
Fuck that.
No, it's like it's basically disc. A computer
like
at this
computer.
Point.
But at this point, Xbox is offering external memory management, but not on launch. They're not offering it. They're not going to need it on launch. Well, whatever. PlayStation is not offering it at all. What am I going to buy two of them or buy a new hard drive to
swap in and out? I'm
telling you,
they're
going to
gouge you on the cloud.
I think I heard like that one of the systems isn't allowing for external hard drive use.
Yeah.
That's such bullshit.
PlayStation 4 is not, you can, however, replace the hard drive,
now,
so you can buy numerous
now
hard drives.
Now, I have an external hard drive. Can I just use mine, or do I have to specifically buy a new Xbox One?
I don't know about that.
Or are they all, you know, I'm saying, like, is it just universal hard drive space, or is it, does it have to be Xbox?
I haven't seen it. Okay. I just know that Xbox is the only one offering it, and PlayStation just flat out is not.
Even with 500 gigs, you're not going to, I mean, the games are set, you fit, say 50, I mean.
It's like 10 games.
Yeah, but
I don't think I'm going to own 10 games over the course of
people
are going to
have 10 games on day one.
Right. I'm probably going to have 3 to 4, probably, on day one. Yeah.
I mean, are you sure it's that much memory? Because, I mean,
yeah.
Damn. All right.
What's up? What's up, Xbox? Nobody thought of this?
I'm finding this hard to believe, so I want to look into it.
Right. Well, the cloud service is kind of, I mean, like, is kind of their answer, I'm sure, but they haven't really addressed it. And, I don't want to rely on the cloud service. That's just that's almost like having to be signed online, just like they told us we wouldn't do.
It's obnoxious that we're like, okay, let's say it's not going to be too bad if I, like, you know, you play a Batman Origins, you beat it, you're pretty much done with it. You can just erase off your but you erase off your hard drive. It's not that big of a deal, right? Because like you're probably not going to go back to it after you do it after you're done with it. But a game, you know, like a Call of Duty or a Gears of War that you may stop playing for a month or two, and then the new download stuff comes out. You're going like, oh, let me go back to it. You're going to have to keep that on your hard drive all year until the next one comes out.
Right.
So
right.
That's a pain in the ass.
Hell yeah, man. That sucks. I mean, I made the mistake of buying the low gigabyte iPhone, and now I have to shift shit around because I have 500 songs.
Next iPhone I buy is definitely going to be a 32 gig. Because the 16 gig, I was like, man, I had 8 gig my whole life. Man, fuck it.
Yeah, and man.
16, I'm a splurge.
Me too, man. It's crazy. Our dog's getting so mad.
Yeah, you know, the dog's outside barking.
No, but nobody has really addressed this. I haven't seen this on any real media outlets.
I mean, are you 100% positive that every game is going to be 50 gigs?
You know, I just pulled an article up on Kotaku.com.
Okay, Kotaku's a good one.
Yeah, it's saying what it's right.
It
says, in particular for the PS4, it says all PS4 Blu-ray disc games must be cached to the hard drive to ensure a smooth gaming experience. So basically, like the same reason that you would normally install it onto your hard drive now, they're forcing you to do it.
Oh, you definitely have to. And not only that, but with PS4, DC Universe is coming out for it. And I know that's a hefty game, man.
PlayStation is not ever going to let you just put the game in and play. It's not in their repertoire.
Well, Xbox isn't going to allow you to do it either now. But I was just very concerned when I saw how many gigabytes these two particular games have taken.
What games?
Assassin's Creed 4 and Battlefield both take close to 50. They're somewhere in the high
40s. Are these games just super epic games? Or is it going to be the same for like a Street Fighter?
Assassin's Creed is just like a regular game. Oh. I mean,
Assassin's Creed's an epic game, dude. Like,
Xbox One's doing the same exact thing, but Xbox One will support external hard drives. So if you have one that's just not even like Xbox related, like you just happen to have an external hard drive sitting around, you can use that for the Xbox.
Well, I know Giant Shock's got a beefy one.
I got a 2 terabyte one. The same one that actually Pete has.
Yes, so that'll last you like I don't know, you get 40 games on there. About it.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, so, but they're still doing it. And
I'm fine with that.
I have a ton of externals, so if you guys want to borrow any, I'm offering them up.
fee. But what is PlayStation thinking?
They're not thinking. They're going to come up with a way that'll cost them.
They're doing it, so.
Well, I mean, it's kind of shocking that they're not. I mean, they have to have the cloud space thing.
It's
going to
be
no
cloud.
Way.
It's all going to be cloud.
But even how much could you possibly? Yeah. I mean, you know how much memory that they're going to have to start storing with all their users? It's going to be crazy.
I'm sure they're Sony. They have servers.
I mean, it's going to be crazy. Like there's a storm or something like that.
But
Sony.
Still, I guess one of my points is after all that shit talking about Xbox saying you have to be online. That's where it's going to wind up for Sony. I'm going to have to be signed onto their cloud service to play some of my games.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so basically, if you lose your internet, you're not going to be able to play.
That's bullshit.
Wait, you have to be online to play?
Well, to play in the cloud?
Well, if you have the cloud. It saved to
well,
the cloud,
you could probably, if you save some space on your hard drive, transfer from the cloud to your hard drive, and you won't have to be logged on.
Well, but I'm saying once you go through your hard drive, you're going to be relying on your cloud.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you could shuffle things around.
Shuffle it around. Maybe the game, what he's saying is the game that you're playing right now would be stored to your hard drive.
I want to play Batman. I'm playing I'm done with Assassin's Creed. I put that on the cloud. I pull Batman back down.
After like the 15-20 minute download time, you're just like, whatever's on my hard drive is on my hard drive.
Except now that's where I'm going to be frustrated.
What bugs me about that though is it's supposed to be to make gameplay smoother. Like, when have you guys played a game and had such a significant problem with the smoothness of gameplay that you said, oh my god, I'm going to rip somebody apart? The only time I ever had a problem like that was Mass Effect, and my disc was busted. That's why.
Sometimes in the wrestling games, when there's too much shit on the screen, it'll slow down.
Like.
And the Grand Theft Auto games before this,
before the download.
I also know that like when L.A. Noire came out, it caused a lot of issues. So I guess maybe it would help that. But certain games, you know, you don't necessarily need that.
Yeah,
if you
for the play, most part, I can't think of any instance.
If you play Call of Duty Zombies with four to a screen, like you would back in the day, like
split screen.
It'll once the zombies start getting hectic, it'll slow. The game will start getting choppy just because too much going on.
Multiple player. All right, that makes sense.
So little things like that. But like, what if you're playing, you know, a simple game?
Well, yeah. No, man.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's always going to slow down when there's just too much shit going on screen. But
so when I get the new system and they release like a SpongeBob game and I get it from the library because I suddenly get back into trophies, not going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to have to like put 40 some odd gigs onto my drive.
Yeah,
I seriously doubt SpongeBob's taking 40 gigs.
And he's really into SpongeBob for the trophies.
Anyway, it was just food for thought and something I came up with.
It sounds a little ridiculous to me.
It sucks.
I just hope that's wrong, that it's not that many gigs where the...
Apparently, they said that in particular Call of Duty Ghosts says 49 gigs. So.
Yeah, and Battlefield's much beefier than Call of Duty Ghosts.
I'm just hoping that that's wrong.
Hope for the best and expect the worst.
Yeah, I mean, I'll prepare for 50, because that's kind of insane, though. That's like your whole hard drive only will hold 10 games.
It hurts.
And then, not to mention, a lot of people like have movies, music.
What about my whole Avatar wardrobe?
You do have a fucking extensive wardrobe. I have the same blue collared shirt and khaki pants.
I know.
From day one.
I got a whole bunch of free shit that I got from playing various games.
Oh, no. Whenever I have some left, because we all know that Microsoft is screwing us for a while with those points where you have like 100 left over, 200 left over.
And they're not in existence anymore. It's just cash.
The first day I met my guy, I was like, perfect. You're ringing again.
Anyway, now's the time. Good time to end the show. All right, everybody. I hope you guys had fun. I hope everybody here had fun. I hope everyone listening had fun. Thanks for playing.